Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Aaron Shafawalaf, my colleague at MRM. Back on January 18th, 2013, Erdmann's Publishing invited Richard Mao, the former president of Fuller Seminary, and Robert Millett, a BYU professor, to come and speak to a group of people. It was recorded. It can be found on YouTube. And there were some things that were said by Dr. Mao and by Dr. Millett that we wanted to discuss today. So we kind of have an outline, Aaron, and I'm going to kind of leave it to you. I do want to say one thing. Mao often tells the story of how he got involved with these Latter-day Saint academics. And he often glories in the fact that he has been criticized by evangelicals for engaging in these conversations. I think we should go on record again that we, as a ministry, or we as individuals, do not have a problem with evangelicals dialoguing with Mormons.
It's not merely that we don't have a problem. We want it. We're for it. We want to encourage it. We pray for it. It would be awesome, but it has to be done with integrity.
Absolutely. And that's the problem we have, because Dr. Mao has said many things that we find very problematic, and he glories in the criticism that he gets from evangelicals such as ourselves. He loves talking about what he calls the hate mail he gets, which, what is that? Just somebody saying, hey, I disagree with you, or hey, you're out of line, you know, but he glories in this, which is very typical, we find historically, that if you want to cozy up with the Latter-day Saint Church, you almost have to disparage your own in order to get close to them, which I find very, very troubling.
Yeah, Ron Huggins called it the pander slander method, where you, in order to pander the people at BYU, you slander the Christians who went before you in the history of missions.
And Ron wrote that several years ago, and I think it's still pertinent today. In fact, I think you can actually find that online, can't you? If you were to type pander, slander, Mormon, it probably would pop up Google. It would be a paper worth reading, because I think Ron, who happens to be a good friend of ours, I think he hits it right on. Well, anyway, in this discussion that they had to this small group of people, a friend of ours, Joel Grote, happened to be in the crowd and asked a question about the Lorenzo Snow couplet. And this has been kind of a bone of contention with many of us, because Mao...
Kind of.
Well, I'm being generous here. I may change my tone as we get on.
As in, there is nothing more important we can think of that fundamentally separates the Christian worldview from the Mormon worldview.
Exactly.
Nothing.
And Mao gives the impression... here I am again, gives this idea that it's not a functioning teaching in the Mormon Church. It's not canonical, he says, even though we find it in modern church manuals.
As an understatement, let me read something that Mao himself said in the Q&A part at about the 40-minute mark. He said, so often people will say, well, they're just telling you that stuff. They want you to think better of them. And he's describing these criticisms he gets of hearing, Mao hears positive things that he relates from his BYU dialogue partners, and he's being warned that he's not necessarily being told, you know, the full truth, and so he relates it this way. They want you to think better of them, but that's not what they really think, and Mao goes on to say. And one of the things that is very important in this kind of dialogue is, well, what do they say to each other? In other words, what are the Mormons publishing and saying and writing to each other and going on? And so to pay attention to not just what they are saying to us, evangelicals, but what the leadership of the church is saying to their own constituents.
Okay, now let me stop you there, because if that's what he is saying, then how can we exclude the manuals that you and I continually point to? Because isn't that what the leadership wants the membership to believe?
Well, I'm just setting Mao up here. He's his own worst enemy here. He's talked of, in other places, he's talked about the importance of not stereotyping Mormons on the basis of what maybe a few authors in the past have said or what a few people have said in the present.
Well, let me stop you there because he makes a comment in this discussion.
He's right. He's right that we ought to listen in into Mormon culture and in the institutional manuals. What's the sort of the internal fostered teaching among themselves?
Yeah. Well, but here's the quote that I want to bring up. He also says in that same interview there, he says, not everything, and he's talking about evangelical academics talking with Mormon academics. This is the context for the quote I'm about to give you. He said, in discussing these issues with these people, this is the quote, not everything we thought Mormons believe. Now, when I heard him say that, and I happen to know because I have an email from him where he admits that much of his understanding of Mormonism is from these discussions with these academics. And I go, wait a minute. I talk to all sorts of Mormons on all sorts of different planes, all sorts of different ages.
Just think
and
back
understanding.
To the presidential polling, where if you took a really skewed sample of data, you might think that one candidate's really doing better than another when he's really not. And so it's important to do a good cross-section of different kinds of Mormons and different kinds of venues and to look at, you know, what are the most important venues to look at to get a really good sample of what the rank and file LDS person
believes. He says that the result of his talking with these academics, these Mormon academics, that not everything we thought Mormons believe, I'm thinking, wait a minute, how can you use the word Mormons when you're only talking to a very select group of membership in the Latter-day Saint Church? He should have rephrased that. He would certainly get on your case and my case if I made a mistake like this. Not everything we thought Mormons believe. He should have said Mormon academics at BYU believe is what we believe.
And it's especially the case because Mormon neo-orthodoxy, which is a term I use to describe a kind of new shift in a set of teachings and beliefs and a set of emphasis, at BYU in the religion department among some professors, you can't use that to project upon the rest of mainstream or institutional Mormonism. I mean, just think of the problem, for example, of taking the Journal of Discourses and taking some quotes from that and then taking it all the way to 2013 and saying, oh, this is what Mormons believe. Mm-hmm. That's sloppy.
Well, in fact, when we did our study of the Journal of Discourses, we were making it very clear throughout that series. Hey, we're not saying that Mormons believe a lot of this today, but we want you to know what they were saying in the past.
And if you were to go to the Society for Mormon Philosophy and Theology and go to one of their symposiums, you wouldn't want to, you know, take sample data from that and say, oh, you know, Mormons don't believe in the existence of Heavenly Mother. Or,
Well, go ahead. When we watched this video and Joel asked the question about the Lorenzo Snow couplet, What were some of the things that were on your mind? A lot of emotions I know that you had and I had, because this is one of the problems we have with Mao being involved with these discussions. Either this man chooses not to do an in-depth study of what Mormon doctrine has been and is today, and he refuses to listen to anybody but this small little group of friends that he's now made in the Mormon church. Or what? What? I mean, people ask me, why is Mao doing this?
So I'll just go on record by saying I think he's by promoting something that's very dangerous to the church. At the very least, it's not healthy. It should be a huge warning flag. This is not pastoral. This is not helpful. This is not clear. To be charitable, though, I think if the most positive view I can take of what he's trying to do is identify a strand within Mormonism that seems promising to him. And he wants to fan the flames of what we call Mormon neo-orthodoxy. So he sees something promising in Robert Millett and some other BYU professors. And he says, wow, if we can really encourage these people of influence to take Mormonism in a more evangelical-ish direction, maybe there'll be a worldwide Church of God kind of transformation and it'll be great. And so, you know, just, you know, Pollyanna eyes kind of way of looking at things. So what he does in this Q&A is he identifies three strands of Mormonism: temple Mormonism, the kind of things he says are embedded within the temple rites, R-I-T-E-S. Folk Mormonism, which is something that people have kind of picked up along the way, the things that they believe. It's interesting, too. He says, in describing folk Mormonism, he says, for example, the idea that every, quoting him, the idea that every man with his family is going to live on a planet and be a god and all of that, that's not canonical,
Now repeat that. We've got a couple minutes left, but I think that's worth repeating. Repeat what he just said there.
Okay, so he says, quote, that idea that every Mormon man with his family is going to live on a planet and be a god and all of that, that's not canonical, that's not official teaching. So it's important to distinguish between folk Mormonism and the official teachings, and he defines that, comma, the canonical teachings. So there is the folk teachings, and he quotes the Lorenzo Snow couplet, as man is God once was, as God is man may become, he says, that is never found in Mormon scripture any place. It's kind of a folk thing that has been taken on, but it doesn't have official status.
But yet in Mormonism, scripture goes beyond just the standard works.
Okay, so it's really important to not think of Mormonism as a religion of the book in the traditional sense of sola scriptura, of being bound alone to what's in the book. You're the one who introduced me to the term a while back of minimalism. There's two areas of the spectrum of Mormonism: maximalism, minimalism. Traditional Mormonism tries to maximize a high view of what modern day prophets and apostles are teaching. If they're publicly teaching in a public venue, it's functionally taken as, you know, part of the continual stream of revelation. Mormons, it functions as scripture. They take it, I mean, they take it pretty more seriously than the letter to the Romans, you know. Mm-hmm.
I just think that Mao either misunderstands how Mormonism really operates when it comes to scripture. Okay, he can use the word canonical, but the fact remains, you do have Mormons who take these manuals seriously. They don't take the manuals as folklore. They are vetted by the First Presidency. They're supposed to be.
And Gospel Principles itself says that scripture goes beyond the canon.
Because he misunderstands that, unfortunately. He misleads people. We're going to talk about this some more, but I think this is a very important topic.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the subject of Mormonism? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Spring Mobile Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction to Mormonism or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past 5 decades, including their comprehensive work, Mormonism: Shadow or Reality. If you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 1 to 5. Come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. As always, we look forward to seeing you soon.